It's Monday, April 1st, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous run tech podcast. This is show number 848, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our April GoDaddy special is where you're going to get 35% off your order. We're going to talk about that a lot more here in a few minutes. Geek News Central is also sponsored in part by DYN. Save 30% at dyn.com by using the promo code PODCAST30. It's been kind of a crazy evening here, getting ready to start Murphy's Law strikes multiple ways. We'll talk about that here in a second. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show, and boy, I tell you... You know, even though I'm back in the studio, something always can go wrong. And it can go on, it can go wrong at so many different levels. I guess we'll get into that here in a second, but let me take a few minutes and just give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana and all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. I tell you, it's I'm appreciative. I really am. But tonight is one of those nights where you almost just want to say, shut the lights off, go to bed. But hey, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Email is the best way to get to the show. And you can tweet me anytime you want, of course. Don't forget that. But hey, if you... get over to Geek News Central. All you got to do is just visit the website and you're going to find the second column of the website. Really, the easiest way to subscribe is right there. You get subscribed to the show, you'll never miss a single episode. It'll get automatically synced into your iPod, your Android, your tablet, whatever it may be. So get hooked up with us here and get subscribed to the show with your favorite podcatcher or iTunes, or just watch us. Of course, you can watch the show on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. Real easy to do so. All you got to do is just look for Tech Podcast Channel and get hooked up. We want you to subscribe to the newsletter as well. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about in the show tonight. All the information is also going to be over at gncshownotes.com, all the links to all the content. So there's a link to it from the Geek News Central website as well. Of course, we want to make sure you get over geeknewscentral.com. Check out all of our great content. Our team of writers, basically, I burned them out a little bit in January and February. So we had a little slower posting month in March, but promise to be back at it full speed here in April. But before we get into all the dilemma of what happened here over the past really 72 hours, take just a second, and I want to thank longtime sponsor here, GoDaddy.com, and want to remind you that you can go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, find all the best deals in the space. Really, this is a great way to save money. And at GoDaddy, and our $1 a month hosting thing, it's gone. It's done. If you didn't get one, it's too late. It's sayonara. It's out of here. But we've got that 35% off your total order for new products by using the promo code GO35OFF2. Again, GO35OFF2. Matter of fact, I was just looking at the website tonight. I'm like, doggone, I need to get that banner off the website, because when you click on it now, it goes to GoDaddy, but it doesn't save you no money. So we'll get the other banner up at the end of the show tonight and make sure that you have all the latest. But the main thing to do when you get over to geeknewscentral.com is to scroll down the website. You'll see GoDaddy promo codes. Click on that. And that's going to take you to where you can get all of our April specials. We still have the $295.com limit one by using promo code GEEK295. Again, 35% off your total order for new products. Go 35 off two. And then all of my other codes I've got there. There's a code there for every occasion at GoDaddy.com. We want to thank you for your longtime support of GoDaddy and everything that they've done for us as well. We thank them for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Well, where do I start? Saturday, I had this fantastic guest for the new media show lined up. A gentleman from Livestream. So I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I fire the studio up. Everything's ready to go. I load Adobe Audition, and it says to me, this is where it starts. It says, I can't validate. You've got a license. I've been loading this thing for years. And I said, okay, re-authenticate. I can't touch the authentication server. So I'm, that's the first thing. And, and play with it, reboot the machine. Doesn't matter. It doesn't think it's a registered piece of software anymore. So I said, okay, no worry about that. I'm almost out of time. I'll just get the recording off the video file. Mistake number one. So everything's good. The folks from Livestream call in. We do an hour and 30 minutes of absolutely fantastic content. An hour and 27 minutes after I had spent essentially entire time talking about Livestream's new product line, the TriCaster dumped on me. Boom, just like that, it rebooted. I mean, it didn't even act like it knew what was going on. It just like someone had hit the reset button. And I'm just sitting here saying to myself in some serious sailor-esque talk, you have got to be beep, 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 beep me. And so, okay, I'm good. I've still got the recording on the capture device. I flip over and I stop the capture. Something, okay, I'm good. I'm still safe. I've got a master recording. Tell the guys thanks for being here. They sign off and I load Adobe Premiere, and I try to load the file that I had recorded on the Mac, and it says it's corrupt too. Well, whatever happened during the time the machine lost its way and the SDI signal going into it, whatever caused that. So I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I've got two files that are corrupt, one on the TriCaster, one on the main machine. Adobe Audition wasn't working for me, so because it wouldn't authenticate. So I have no audio recording, and I'm thinking I just spent an hour and a half online and have nothing. But we had the Livestream stream going, so I said, oh, I've got that. So I went to Livestream, and for 2 days now, the file hasn't finalized. And they're looking into it, but apparently whatever happened here also affected the Livestream box. You can see the video is there, so close but yet so far. When you whack and do something to a video file, it is non-forgiving. Audio almost all the time, no issues, you can recover. So there I was, and I mean, I was so upset, you guys have no idea. I mean, I was ready to take a hammer to the whole studio. And so tomorrow morning, the new tech people are going to remote into my TriCaster to find out what is going on with it. I am going to be investing in an additional hardware to, how much more redundant can I get? It's just the perfect storm. And I feel sorry for Rob, my co-host, because it's like this is the second time we've lost a show. Something about Saturday morning, and we've been good for months. But so what I had to do is I had to go out and buy a new version of Edition. Adobe couldn't help me. They don't know why the stupid thing, the old one, went and re-authorized. So $147 out there to buy the new version of Adobe. And so here I am tonight getting ready to do the show, and the folks from New Tech said, we want you to update the TriCaster. There's a new version out. Go download that. And I did. So as soon as I came up online, I'm thinking everything, I'm looking a little bright. Well, the update to the TriCaster took out all my video lighting settings. Not to mention, I mean, when it rains, it pours. We're having an issue over at Raw Voice right now. A couple of people that are trying to FTP up their media files tonight can't. And I'm like, okay, it's 1:30 in the morning where Angela's at. I need to get a show started. There's nothing I can do. Let's just go. And here I am. So it's just one of those, hey, I'm telling you, just one of those nights when, you know, it's just like the last couple of days, you have all this great investment and you just never know when it's just going to go on the crapper. You're just like, hey, it might as well all come at once, right? Let me get through it and move on. So we will see how things work out tonight. We're up on live stream. We're up on Ustream. We're up on Amazon with the, of course, live stream is ad free, and so is the Amazon Flash Media server on Geek News Central. So we're all good, and I got a lot of stuff to talk to you about tonight. If we can get through this perfect storm, we're good. Hey, you're getting ready to head out to NAB on Friday. There will be a Thursday show, but there will be no shows next week from Geek News Central. I will be taking next week off, but I will be producing live content at NAB 2 hours, 4 days of the show, 2 to 3 hours each of the days, and be broadcasting right in the live stream studio, live stream booth in South Lower. They've invited me and the Gadget Professor, who is also a show host here at Geek News Central. We are going to be doing a couple of hours of content. I think we're going to have about 30 vendors lined up. I think we've got about half of our vendors booked, so we're looking real good on booking. We kind of were stressed a little bit, but I think we've got a great lineup. So what they're going to do is they have a master stream site that they're going to push everything to. I'm going with a hard drive. And we're basically going to plug into their machine, and they're going to give me all the master files before we get done. And I'll be able to edit that out and produce a bunch of episodes. But I'm going to try to re-simulcast each show in the evenings, maybe put it on a loop. I'll let you guys know about that on the site. As you guys can see, I've been priming Geek News Central already. The site is already kind of loaded up, and it's actually a little messy right now due to me putting the information up for their live stream. So we got my live show going tonight with the chat room below that, and then the NAB data below. But that is kind of the game plan. I just want to make you guys aware. I'm really excited about this lineup of content we're going to be able to do at CES. I mean, at NAB. CES and MyNet was in January. So let's take care of the last piece of business here, and then we're going to get into, I got a whole stack of stuff tonight. I mean, just a huge stack. And hey, Hawaii Tech guy in the chat room, aloha. Thanks for joining the show tonight. Let me go ahead and bounce into the last sponsor spot, and we'll take care of that, and then we'll get into, or actually the next to the last sponsor spot. We'll get into the content here in a second. You know, meetings are an essential way we work, and meetings are an opportunity to share ideas, problem solve, and really develop creative solutions. But if your team is spread out in different locations like mine is, you know, Angelo's in Ohio, Jeff's in New York, Barry's in Michigan, Brian's also in Ohio now, support team is spread out all over the place. We've got Kathy in Denver. So, you know, we are a spread out team, and coming together can be an impossible task. And that's why we use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a powerful and simple way to meet and collaborate online. We use this on a daily basis. I basically open up GoToMeeting, leave it up, leave the webcam running. The guys can bounce in and out as they need, talk to me and so forth. You know, no matter where everyone is located, GoToMeeting allows you to share the same screen, making it easier for all of you really to be on the same page. And with the built-in HD video conferencing, you can see each other face-to-face, and that's really important. Matter of fact, we had had a meeting with a client. It was really a long one, about a week ago, and I was actually participating via my iPad from my car, and Angelo texts me on the phone. He says, dude, he says, quit scratching your nose. He says they can see you do that, you know, because I had up the screen so I couldn't see the participants. I was like, oh man. And so with the built-in HD video conferencing, you can see each other face to face, and so you got to remember the camera's on. And it's easy to launch or join a meeting from anywhere using a computer, phone, or tablet. And of course, now you can present with the iPad. So what I want you to do, I want you to try it for free for 30 days by going to gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and use the promo code podcast. Remember to use the promo code podcast. GoToMeeting, meeting is believing. All right, let's go ahead and get into the stack of stuff I've got for you tonight. I hope everyone had a great Easter. You know, I forgot to say that when we started the show. I hope all the Ohana, all the family members out there had a great Easter. I hope you had time to spend time with your family. We did a thing on Friday. Actually, my wife went to the beach with her friends on Friday. On Saturday, of course, she got injured at the beach, so we spent some time in the hospital actually Saturday, then went to another friend's party. She tore her big toenail nearly off, and I'm not going to go into the details on what happened, but all I can say is ouch, 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 ouch. And it still makes me cringe a little bit. Of course, not as bad as that basketball player in Louisville. Unbelievable. That poor guy. Oh, my God. On national TV. And that's something I just do not need to see ever again. I really don't. But all right. So let's go ahead and bounce into the content. Again, if you got comments tonight, definitely email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, follow me on Twitter @geeknews. So I want to start off with the first piece coming out of GigaOM talking about the genie is out of the bottle. Arrow's court victory and what it means for the TV business. And this is huge. A major appeals court ruling says that Arrow, which lets users watch and record live TV to mobile devices, does not violate copyright law. And the decision is the biggest blow to the existing TV business. This is big. So they ruled that Arrow TV Anywhere service does not violate copyright law. This is opening up the door for the startup to expand the service and let consumers watch television on their mobile devices for as low as a dollar a day. And the decision amounts to a major victory for those of us that are cord cutters. And really, this could hasten the end of pay TV model. It appears that they are in talk with Dish and some other maybe satellite providers to push down and push out. So, you know, getting stuff over the air is still possible. You know, Arrow's in a legal loophole right now. You know, Arrow captures over-the-air TV signals by means of tiny antennas and then streams them to subscribers who watch and record shows on their mobile devices or computer browser. Arrow's antennas are not just a marvel of technology. They're also the key to their legal strategy that helps the company avoid copyright infringement. So we've talked about them here in the past, but the TV business is, long have been in the business of selling large bundles. And they don't want you to, as a matter of fact, they want you to forget that you can still get some TV over the air. So the significance of this is so big is that it really means that they can continue operating. And this boost is a precedent by one of the country's most influential appeals courts. So this isn't completely done yet. The ruling only addresses the preliminary injunction that was asked about, and the broadcasters will still appeal to a full panel of the second court and or to the Supreme Court if need be. But at the same time, the California court has already ruled that a service offered by would-be Arrow competitor amounts to copyright infringement. So there's kind of some conflicting stuff here. So we'll see where this leads. But for right now, a major win by the folks at Arrow. And we'll see if they come to a city near you soon. They're operating primarily right now out of New York City. So, hey, Hawaii Tech guy, I think you're the only guy in the chat room tonight. It's pretty late on the East and West Coast. Hey, I want to talk about a little bit about the what happened at the New York Auto Show. Automakers are ceding ground and giving users really more control of dashboard entertainment and apps. And I actually, Rob sent me an article a couple of days ago talking about there's discussion now that within the next 3 years, that it could be possible that AM and FM would actually be removed from some models of vehicles. Because so many of these young adults and folks like me, they're well connected. We're living in a digital world and we're not listening to AM and FM. We're listening to Slacker Radio. We're listening to the variety of different digital services available via our dashboard. And if not, we're hooked in with our mobile devices and we're listening to them through Bluetooth. I think my kids think it's the biggest cat's meow to be able to hook up to the car stereo via their Bluetooth and be able to play dad the latest jams that they like to listen to, much to my chagrin at times. But at least this is the way they live. They don't want to hear FM. They don't want to hear AM. Oh, AM, you got to be kidding me. That's like old school, you know. So they want to listen to stuff that they're digitally connected to, and they don't want to listen to somebody, giving them a radio mix down. Now, once in a while, there is a need for it, morning traffic and so forth. But the big thing is they're saying within 3 years that some auto manufacturers could start abandoning the AM and FM features and the in-dash car entertainment system. And I noticed I didn't say radio. I said internet and entertainment system. So we'll see where this leads. What do you think? Do you think that they'll get rid of televisions? Yeah. And get rid of AM, FM out of some vehicles? If you think about it, certain classes of car that it is attractive to the 18 to 25-year-old range, I could see this happening. But if you're buying a big boat that appeals to the 45 to 50 crowd, the more, older, more luxurious riding vehicle, probably AM, FM is still going to be an option. But they're going to be working on those demographics and putting into vehicles what people want these days and being able to be digitally connected even when they're mobile. All right, let's talk about Judge Wright and what he could do to the Prenda team tomorrow. This is, I tell you, we'll be talking about this on Thursday for sure. But in case you've forgotten, tomorrow is the date of the second big Prenda hearing by Judge Otis Wright following the March 11th hearing that really went south, which did not satisfy the judge's curiosity about the team Prenda. So what can he do tomorrow? Well, he has some power to issue sanctions or argue that they are contempt, but all those powers are somewhat limited, and while they can be damaging, it may not, and this according to TechDirt, it may not go as far as some people hoped. The bigger issue will be if Judge Wright decides to refer the matter to others, including various state bars, the U.S. District Courts and Circuit Court bars, and of course to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Now he says, while he notes that all these places tend to be busy on other things, getting a referral directly from a federal court judge usually makes the folks wake up and pay some attention, at the very least, begin an investigation. He doesn't think that the judge will rule immediately, but one thing's for sure, it's going to be entertaining to read the transcript on how these knuckleheads, in my opinion, dance to the judge's tunes. We'll see how many of them actually don't show up either. Of course, today is April Fool's Day, and I'm not gonna even fool with you. There was a lot of stuff tonight that I was looking at. And I was going, is that an April Fool's joke? So I will say this in advance: take everything that I'm going to say tonight and every article, and be ready to debunk it. Okay, I know some of these are 100% whack jobs for basically being for April Fool's Day. You just can't trust hardly anything you read on the net on April Fool's Day. But over on Skeptic Blog, they bring up an interesting piece: brain-to-brain interface. Okay, they say, quote unquote, and something is beeping. I don't know what's. I think a program is beeping. Let me close. Let me go over here and shut down Hootsuite because I think that's the one that's making the noise. Brain-to-brain interface. According to Skeptic Blog, we are beginning to see technology to interface computers and brains. I've been writing about brain-machine interface technology and brain-machine-brain interface technology. Now we have to report a brain-to-brain communication, which is currently as close as we come to telepathy. Actually, the technology is brain to machine to another machine and then to another brain. So imagine having a computer chip implanted in your brain that can read your brain activity. Then this information is transferred to a computer chip implanted in someone else's brain who can then access that information. Fellas, we already got that. If you're married, your wife is directly wired into your brain. They know what you're thinking. You can't get away with nothing, okay? Don't try to sneak out and have some beers with the boys or you know, tell them you're working late and you're actually, you know, somewhere you shouldn't be because you're going to get busted, okay? They just have a sixth sense. There's no way you're going to get around it. So we already have this brain-to-brain interface. BBI is what they call it, or BMI, brain-machine interface. So believe it or not, this is an April Fool's article over on skepticblog.com. All right. In more April news, Fool's Day news. you know, this has been really the worst day to go on the internet. Pranks are everywhere, right? So, of course, Jen, one of our writers here at Geek News Central, she had to dig around and see what she could find. And, of course, there was a lot of stuff that was burning out there that was, you know, basically being called out immediately. But there was a Twitter post announcing Twitter, TWTTTR. The blog says that starting April 1st, there will be a change. They said, starting today, we're shifting to a two-tiered service. Everyone can use our basic service, Twitter, TWTTR, but you only get consonants. For $5 a month, you can use our premium Twitter service, which also includes vowels. The Guardian has launched a new augmented reality specs that have been specially designed to offer immersive liberal insight. They're called Guardian Googles. And of course, Google has been busy as well. It announced the new Google Blue, which is ready after 6 years of developing the technology for it. And basically, Google Blue is added a special feature to its search engine. Under the regular box, it says, Google Blue. All right. Missing a little information here, Jen. I guess this is something to do with, Let's skip Google Blue because she didn't put enough details in there for me to get the sense of this. But did you hear about Google Nose? It's currently in beta. Users can take a whiff of the Google Aroma Base, which includes 15 million centibytes. For first time ever, you can share a smell with your friends. There are safe search functions for users who are wary of their query. Oh, I know what I could send as in smells to some of my good friends. So that's some of the stuff that Jen came up with on basically what was going on April Fool's Day. But there was some discussion on some 2013 April Fool's jokes that could become reality. Number one, a broadband connection in every alley. Well, I would rather have a broadband connection on every street, but an alley's just fine. Your kid's first 3D printer, and I think that actually could become a reality at some point. The selective vision of Guardian Googles, they feel, could at some point actually become a product. So kind of cool that the folks at GigaOM actually went out and said, some of these could eventually become a true product. Now, on a more serious note today, eBay has relaunched shopping.com as the eBay Commerce Network, a product listing platform for publishers. So imagine if you had shopping.com as a domain. What is the value on that thing? Holy cow. You know, eBay acquired shopping.com in August 2005, and they've been wondering whether the new service will be connected somehow or merge into eBay's core service. Shopping.com now reaches more than 250 million consumers every month and accessible in U.S., France, Germany, Australia, and U.K., but it's really failed to reach the same level of public awareness enjoyed by eBay. So eBay has shifted the focus of shopping.com to entice publishers and merchants rather than consumers. So they basically, they're trying to make it the arm of their business to bring people in to offer stuff that will ultimately make it back into eBay. There was a little bit of seriousness today in and amongst the news. YouTube's co-founder, Chad Hurley, piggybacked on YouTube's April Fool's Day Monday by using it to tease a new site called MIXBit, as a possible replacement. Of course, what YouTube says is we're going to shut down and revamp for 6 years. This is something that actually was talked about before. MIXBit was something that was talked about at South by Southwest. So this might actually be another video product being brought on, you know, to market by Chad. So MIXBit is being developed by Avos, the startup account founded by Hurley and Chen that also brought Delicious.com, that bought Delicious.com in 2011. So we'll see where this leads, but kind of interesting seeing what they're going to bring to market with this MIXBit. Of course, last week they talked about the Facebook phone, and there's been some leaks today. So, you know, again, take this with a grain of salt, but software leaks show that the likely Facebook phone specs and features, and again, there has to be some skepticism to this, but a software teardown of a reportedly leaked version of Facebook software has the smell of legitimacy. Android Police claims that the software will run on Facebook's own phone as well as other Android devices. Facebook is planning a press event to show off its new home on Android later this week. So, in terms of software, Android Police notes that the Facebook-specific build has all the permissions necessary to manage and to be an Android home screen. That home screen will work with HTC Sense devices and Samsung's TouchWiz customized Android software. That makes sense because history has already proven that a dedicated Facebook phone won't obviously be a big seller. But they want something that's going to be a little more integrated, and we'll see what they have to say later in the week. But I don't know. I'm not going to go buy a phone just specifically for Facebook. There's a report that ATM skimming is now basically on the rise. And they're not only going after ATMs, they're going after ticket machines. So Krebs on Security is reporting finding from European ATM Security Team East has revealed that point-of-sale skimming attacks are becoming the norm. The report points out that at least five countries reported widespread skimming activities against transport ticket machines and parking machines. So where they're seeing the most activity is the United States, Dominican Republic, Brazil, Mexico, Peru, Thailand. And so that's kind of interesting that they're making the move here on this. But we'll see where this leads. But skimming has been around a while, and I'm sure several of my credit cards have gotten shut down in the past year. Probably were due to skimming because I'm all over the place and credit cards being used on a daily basis in a variety of different, you know, could anywhere be from a restaurant to a store, and you just never know when it's going to be swiped, it's going to be picked up and then resold online, and someone's going to buy a tank of gas with it. There's a article over in Gizmodo talking about the world's biggest jet engine. And, you know, you think about jet engines today, and, you know, you get an airplane and you go and they work, right? But I always get pretty excited when I see articles like this. I'm not a aviation mechanic. I don't work on engines. Of course, I do have the aviation electronics background from the Navy, but if you think about it, the Wright Flyer took off in 1903, powered by a measly 12 horsepower straight four engine. Now, 110 years later, their pokey engines would eventually lead to a power plant with more horsepower than the Titanic and Shepard's Mercury Redstone 3 combined. The GE90 series of aero engines from GE Aviation are now built exclusively for Boeing's latest model of 777. The GE90 was originally grew out of NASA's energy-efficient engine in the 1970s and first debuted in 1995 aboard a British Airways 777. But get this. The first three models boast an output between 74,000 and 115,000 pounds of thrust. And now the newest motors can produce a whopping 125,000 pounds of thrust. Now, one thing is, one of the coolest videos I ever saw was when they were doing 777 test flights and basically making sure that the aircraft was airworthy. One thing that they had to do was the engine, as the engine's mounted in its cowling, if a motor ever self-destructs, throws a blade, something goes bad, that engine has to be contained within the cowling, and basically they don't want any shrapnel getting outside. Now, think about that motor. It's spinning, right? It's just this incredible high RPM, and there's blades attached. And if one of those blades get loosed, you know, think of the power of that. If it was able to pierce the skin of the cowling that the engine motor's in and make it into the aircraft. You know, you got a machete coming at you at like Mach 5. You know, you would never know what hit you. You'd just be dead. But what they've done is they have this protective layer outside of the motor in the cowling, and it basically has to absorb all the energy when an engine basically self-destructs. And these things don't happen very often, but when it does, it can be pretty impressive. So what they did is they blew one of the blades on purpose on a test motor at high speed, at the basically highest RPM, blew the blade, and then in high-speed cameras photographed the blade, and it's basically being thrown and how it was contained within the aircraft fuselage of the motor mount. One of the best videos I've ever seen. If you can find it online, it's worth the 2 or 3 minutes to watch that test, and it really will reassure you when you get on an aircraft to think, that motor that's spinning out there will be contained if it goes south. Now, it might not still be on the wing if it really goes south, but at least none of that shrapnel of the pieces will get in. That being said, they've never really had one completely in recent years self-destruct like that. All right, switching gears here a little bit, Feedly. They've been updating their app. People are getting real happy about their update, and they're being able to be a replacement for Google Reader. It's too doggone slow. Uses too many resources. They have not matched Google Reader yet to this point. I'm very nervous about Google Reader, and I'm obviously looking at other options beyond Feedly. It just takes too long. It's too slow of a service at this point. And I tell you, the basic premises of how Reader works is going to be really, really hard to duplicate and be replaced. I know many of you out there are, besides listen to this show and other tech shows, you may have a hobby in RC planes. And, you know, usually when you start out building RC planes or helicopters, you start small because you're going to crash a few, right? You got to start small, build them up to the point where you can really graduate and become a big boy and basically, build a full scale one, not full scale, but larger ones, 80, you know, like 80 inches, wing base and so forth. Well, there was a beautiful, absolutely beautiful, Mitsubishi Zero, that was flying on a 50cc gas EI engine and a 450-size electric helicopter collided. They were flying this thing in the pattern around this little runway, and as it came across the threshold of their little RC airport, a little helicopter got in the way and it clipped the wing off, and the video is pretty dramatic, and the words being said after by its owners are pretty dramatic as well. It's worth the 3 minute, 19 second watch. I have a link up in the show notes. And it nothing worse than watching probably $3,000 to $5,000 worth of, you know, beautiful RC flying equipment just self-destruct in seconds. It's the first time I think ever a mid-air between RC aircraft have ever been caught. So it's pretty cool to watch it. But explicit language included in the video, so be aware of that. We've never had a close look of what Earth looks like from 100 million miles away. But right now, there is a sun observatory that is way out there, at like 99.7 million miles away. and it's turning around and it's actually taking a peek back at Earth. There's a great image that I'll have available for you that, let's see if I can I load the full size. Let me look here. Is that going to give it to me? Nope, that didn't do it. Let's see if I can actually go to the discover.com, discovermagazine.com. Yeah, I guess I can show you here. And what it is they wanted to see a picture of this comet that flew through. And the comet Pan-STARRS was in the image, and also Earth was in it as well. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. But 99.7 million miles away, we're another large star out there. So of course, we're not a star, we're a planet, but I'll have the link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out, check the image out. It's pretty cool, little image for you to review. All right, next topic up. Let's see what have I got here in the stack. Oh, a couple things from Geek News Central. Trucker Tom put up a post on no open ports, and he talked about the replacement of a DSL modem in his home and the challenges he had remoting into it. And it's a good prepper into me talking about our last sponsor. But what Trucker Tom was doing is he had a DSL router that failed, and he basically had it set up where he could port in and be able to look at cameras and a variety of different devices, be able to get access to an IP camera, and some other stuff. And so when he replaced the router, he just couldn't get into, he kept trying and trying and trying. And actually what he ended up doing is setting up some port forwarding, and then he signed up for Dynamic DNS when he used the discount that we offered here from the folks over at Dyn.com. So go back to Trucker Tom's story here. If you ever run into an issue where you're replacing a modem, especially the one that's on your connected to your network, which your machine's all hooked to, and you're actually remoting in, you're going to want to test that real close to make sure everything still works after you change out your new router. But one thing that he found out after hours of troubleshooting is it also bode him well to go online and actually do some reading up on the Pacific modem that he replaced it with to find out that it had some limitations. So what I want to talk about here real second, of course, Trucker Tom talked about using the Dynamic DNS service from Dyn.com, and it's something that I use at Dyn as well. I use the Dynamic DNS service to be able to authenticate myself with my servers. And basically what I've done is I've said, told my server, you will only accept the login from this specific domain and IP. And with Dynamic DNS, what I do is I set up they allow you to set up a domain, and it doesn't have to be your own. You can use one of theirs with a suffix on it in front of it, a subdomain. And basically, when I turn on my computer, whether it be my laptop or my desktop, and the IP changes, it tells Dynamic DNS, hey, his IP's changed, so that when I go to log into my server authenticates my IP that I'm trying to log into is actually, the machine that it's supposed to be. And that's what Trucker Tom's using, is he's using the Dynamic DNS that enables him to easily view his IP camera without messing around with finding what his dynamic IP is on his home address. And he says, with a camera app on my phone and other mobile devices, I can simply open the app and always get a live view without having to go through any additional steps. So this is a cool way to set up an IP and basically get access to an IP by using Dynamic DNS. And we talk a little bit about that, in their product offerings. But really, Dyn is about speeding up your websites. If you want your websites to load quicker and you want to make sure that your DNS provider goes, if your DNS provider goes down, that you have a secondary route to your website. Dyn.com it provides you outsourced DNS. It makes sure people can get to your website at all times. And with managed DNS, you can even connect items, again, like your webcam or a DVR to basically a private channel, kind of just what I was talking about a few minutes ago, that you can pull from at any time. And again, their business offering email services. If your business relies on your contactless years, then Dyn's email solutions can get your message to clients and customers. You can secure You can send secure email, bulk email, and set up high volume mailboxes right on Dyne's delivery service. They also are IPv6 compatible. They've got that all licked, don't worry, and it's simple. Get faster internet by using Dyne for DNS by visiting dyne.com/podcast30 and fill out the contact form or start shopping right away by saving 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Once again, visit dyne.com/podcast30. Ask them how they can help you with either your personal account or enterprise, or how they can help your business stay online and be more effective. Thanks, Dyne.com, for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let's switch gears here and get right back into the content. Boy, I was pissed when Gmail forced on me the new Gmail Compose. And Alan wrote a piece that basically gets me out of their new Gmail Compose for now. This isn't going to last forever. They're going to force this thing. I tried using it for a day, and it just, I really do not like it. I don't like the pop-up box. I don't like how I can cut and paste email addresses. You know, it has all the functionality, but it just seems so plain Jane. And there's limited functions of being able to highlight and underline or, put italics on something. I'm really not a big fan of the new Gmail Compose. And a lot of people have been complaining, but you can temporarily switch back to the old Compose by following the instruction that Alan gives you here at Geek News Central. Again, they're going to force it upon us soon, so it's not permanent. Just be aware of that, okay? So let's talk about supercomputers. For all the money and effort really put into supercomputers, their lifespans can be really short. You know, it used to be supercomputers lasted for years. IBM's Roadrunner, a textbook example of the 116,640 core cluster, was smashing records just 5 years ago. But today, all that money spent, it's already considered so behind the times that Los Alamos National Laboratories is taking it out of action. That's pretty impressive if you think about it. The technology was made obsolete in 5 years. That's pretty incredible if you think about it. If you think about how short and the money that was probably spent, and of course, Los Alamos National Labs is funded by your taxpayer dollars. It's not a private entity. They get cash up the wazoo to do all kinds of cool stuff. The national labs are actually a national treasure. I don't want to dog on them. These guys do brilliant work. These are where the biggest eggheads in the world go to work. They do out of this world design. It's where some of the leading stuff that is brought to basically to market in the United States comes out of our national labs. So for them to say, hey, 5 years, the thing is, it's finished. It needs to be replaced. And they've been able to build a cheaper, faster, more greener competitor. So it's kind of cool to see where this is going in the supercomputer side. But hey, what are you going to do with all those servers? I'll take 10. You know, don't shred them. I'll take 10. I'm sure we could put them to use. Hey, do you have a musician at your home? I have three here. Guitar, ukulele, violin, cello. As obviously all string instruments, they're very well versed in all of them. I got both my son and daughter are now strumming the guitars, and basically they've learned how to play the cello and the violin and the ukulele, and now they're on the guitars. And because the guitar thing's cool, see, my son's kind of figured out that while the ukulele's cool for the girl situation, the guitar has a little different influence factor here in Hawaii, because not everyone plays the guitar. A lot of people play ukuleles. So he and I'm like, oh, you're trying to learn how to play the guitar a little better to, you're trying to become a chick magnet or something. He just laughed. and he's got a great voice, so he can sing. So it's a, yeah. And I'm blessed that they have great musical skills, and you don't want to hear me sing, believe me. But there's a tunable app that's going to help musicians get their instruments tuned pitch perfect. And so this is pretty cool. It's a tone and chord generator. It's called Tunable. It's a buck. And I basically downloaded it and let the kids play with it. My son's like, oh, I got to go to my room. So he took it to the room. I can hear him playing with the app, playing the guitar, playing with the app, playing with the guitar. And he says, man, this thing really works better than his little tuning device. So it just goes to show you that the iPad for a buck, you don't have to buy that little thing anymore to tune your instrument. All right, let's switch gears just a little bit. Apple is apologizing to Chinese consumers. Apparently, the Chinese were a little upset about local warranty policies, and they've taken a lot of heat. So Tim Cook, yes, the CEO of Apple, apologized on behalf of the company and promises that Apple's commitment and compassion and passion for China is no different than other countries. And basically, they changed their warranty policy. So they improved the warranty policy for iPhone 4 and iPhone 4S, where the first 15-day grace period offers full device replacement as usual, whereas the remainder of the one-year warranty period will now offer brand-new parts replacement or brand-new device replacement, depending on the situation. They're having to follow the Chinese three-guarantee law, and they're going to give them more concise repair and warranty policy statements. They're going to have strengthened supervision training for Apple-authorized service providers, and they're going to take direct online feedback from the Chinese consumers. And I'm going to tell you, the Chinese consumers who have money that are coming here to Hawaii, you know, the Japanese used to come to Hawaii and buy homes. The Chinese are showing up with bags of cash, and they're buying up properties here. It's really interesting where the boom is. And they're not just buying luxury homes. They're buying homes like I own here, you know, a standard single-family home. And they're coming in and paying above market price in hard, cold cash. And that's saying something. A sight unseen, coming in, buying them. And it just goes to show all that money we're sending to China for financing our debt is making it back, and they're buying up property here, just as the Japanese did years and years ago. The question is, will there be another... You know, because when the Japanese pulled out of the market here in Hawaii, housing prices suffered for 10 years. All right, Amazon Cloud Drive tax on file syncing flexes its digital storage muscle. So after nearly a year on the market, Amazon has finally blessed its Cloud Drive apps for Windows and Mac with a file syncing folder. So you get 5 gigs free storage, and Cloud Drive could become a contender here. In basically syncing your files. And a more troubling piece of law ruling that went down today, a company called Redigi has been denied their appeal, saying that music downloads can't be resold. So if you download an MP3 and you try to resell it, according to this ruling, you're not going to be able to resell legally purchased song downloads much as you would if you sold a CD. So they're saying digital is different than basically hard products you bought. So I'm sure this is going to make it all the way up in the higher courts, but we'll see where this goes. But digital stuff, they're saying you can't legally resell, which is troubling. And I hope it goes to a higher court for a decision, because, you know, we're living in a world where we don't own everything in a hard copy. We're buying stuff digitally, and I should be able to, if I buy digitally a movie and I don't want to have that movie anymore and I want to sell that movie, I should be able to do that and transfer that digitally to you legally. And but right now, not so fast. All right, let's talk about internet browsers just a little bit. We've got Internet Explorer 10 almost doubles its users thanks to Windows 7 release. There's really no big changes in the browser landscape in March. The top three held their positions, and Windows 8 continues to grow at a sluggish pace. The biggest change, of course, was Internet Explorer 10, which almost doubled its market share thanks to the February release of Windows 7, of its Windows 7 version. So that's kind of an interesting statistic. Now, Ace Dulzer over talking about Firefox basically says the latest browser usage statuses are out at net applications, and they're saying that Firefox has been the most stable over the last year, with Chrome down about 15% from its high. The increasingly solid IE 8, 9, and 10 have helped to reverse Microsoft's slide, putting solidly into positive growth over the last year. So even Ace Dulzer admits that Internet Explorer is making getting traction. I still don't use the browser. It's still one of those things. You just give me a break. It's not even on my top three list. All right, nanoparticles. Nanoparticles have been formed using human viruses to fight human viruses. So what they're finding is, and what they're doing is, they're imprinting viruses on nanoparticles, which are then going to be used to detect and remove viral infections. Boy, oh boy, biology and nanotechnology are moving closer together. This recent report coming out of Swiss researchers had developed nanoparticles that can detect and combat viruses. They feel aid in like stem cell and cardiac therapy as well. So this is kind of an interesting move here. It's a little bit over my head, but it sounds to me like they're finding new and novel ways to kill the stuff in us that kills us, right? Our Google patent software solution extending a battery on a phone. Google has been granted a patent for reducing the quality of a mobile device display in order to preserve battery life as it dwindles, according to a report from Droid Life. The patent describes a system that disables animations or even reduces the resolution of the screen in service of reducing display's battery usage. So kind of a way there, you know, basically saying, hey, as the battery gets lower, we're going to darken your screen down and not let you do as much stuff. I'd rather let the phone do everything it needs to do until it died. So, like, you know, put extended battery on or something like that. I don't want anything to be throttled. All right, I've been talking a lot about Bitcoin over the past month or so, and I kept saying that Bitcoin I thought was a big scam. Well, Bitcoin value has tripled in a month to an all-time high of just a little more than $100 a Bitcoin. What do I know? I know nothing. I really don't. But if you'd have bought in April 2012, if you'd have bought Bitcoins when it was like $2 and $3, you would have made the investment of a lifetime in just a year. The total value of nearly 11 million Bitcoins in circulation, its market cap has also soared past $1 billion after being less than 50 million 1 year ago. So, wow. Holy cow. That's just incredible. It really is. So we'll see where this thing goes. Have you got a sexual predator living in your neighborhood or a sex offender? And, you know, most states allow you to look that up online. Well, apparently thousands of paroled California sex offenders and felons are able to easily disable their GPS monitors. Apparently, they can take these things off and get them rehooked back up in about 60 seconds, and then they're basically free to move around and do what they want without the ankle bracelet being on. Where there's a will, there's a way. So monitoring is not necessarily the solution. Have you ever wondered what happened to Japan and their, I guess for a better word, their electronics might? You know, when I was in high school, I mean, let's go back a few years, 30 years ago, Japan had the Walkman, had a variety of different products that were really top dog at the time. And really, as we move forward and we see Samsung and we see Apple, and we see even products that Microsoft are coming out with, and, you know, LG and a variety of different non-Japanese companies, you just wonder, okay, where's Sony? Is Sony going to figure this out? Are they going to get back in the game in a big way? You know, Toshiba has a little bit, but I read this analogy today, or read this article over on the BBC, and it basically says that, you know, Japan Electronics ruled the world. Sony, Panasonic, Sharp were really household names. And of course, now those same companies are in deep trouble, losing billions of dollars a year. And they basically said it's simple. Those companies built mechanical things. You know, you think about the Sony Walkman. It was very mechanical, had lots of intricate parts. And you looked in it, and you're like, how did they make that work? And then on the other hand, we've got digital products today, the iPad, the Samsung Galaxy S4, S3. You know, all those are purely electronic products. And essentially, they're saying that the Japanese never moved from a mechanical industry to an electrical industry. And I guess that's kind of, it makes you go, yeah, it does make sense. And so they didn't move digital. They stayed mechanical. And that's what has impacted them. And of course, with the mechanical, you need a much bigger workforce to be able to assemble all that stuff. So, you know, the Japanese have had to shed all these jobs, and that's why they've had such a tough economy for such a long, long time. And it makes you go, just a little bit. It makes you think, doesn't it? So a good article, I have a link up in the show notes. TED has withdrawn support for upcoming TEDx event, and basically TED had revoked a license it had provided to organizers of TEDx West Hollywood, basically saying that the event did not make guidelines for solid science, and they've been pulled. So kind of an interesting development there. I didn't even know that they licensed their series, but it's nice to see that they're watching their brand. Over on Ogizmo, boy, fellas, you're going to need this. You know, you may not, some guys may be more inclined to be able to take advantage of this, but there's a below the belt ad. It turns your butt into a billboard, and you can get free underwear. So, you know, nothing's free in this world, but if you sign up for free offers or subscriptions, you end up paying for those sooner or later. But in Japan, there's a site that's called Free Pants. And while they send anyone who wants a pair of free underwear, it's not as free as you think. As you see, each of the pants they ship out will have some ad of some sort on the bottom. The logo of some deodorant or shampoo or cable company. Boy, just what I want to wear on my butt. So anyway, that's apparently available in Japan. Believe it or not. And this was posted before April Fool's Day, so it has to be true, right? Only in Japan. Someone's asking, you don't need to answer on air, but do you know how to listen live on my Android? You should be able to. Android has Flash. You should be able to just play right on your phone when we're live. It shouldn't be an issue. Now the folks on iPhone have a different problem, but Android should have no problem playing the show live. Now imagine this: the fight gridlock. Los Angeles is working on synchronizing the 4,500 traffic signals across 469 square miles. Can you imagine that? First time a major metropolitan city has try to sync the traffic lights. Now get this, built up over 30 years, the cost of $400 million and completed only several weeks ago, the automated traffic surveillance and control system, as it is officially known, offers Los Angeles one of the world's most comprehensive systems for mitigating traffic. I'll have to admit, it's pretty cool being on six lanes of highway moving at 80 with all six lanes full. In Hawaii, we're four lanes and we're moving at 2 miles an hour. And people here, you come to Hawaii, stay in Waikiki. Don't drive between the hours of 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. and 2 in the afternoon till about 7. Just stay off the roads. Go to the beach. Hang out. Have a Mai Tai. All right, folks, that brings me to the end of the content tonight. Things went off with pretty good so far. We'll keep our fingers crossed here that nothing fails at the end. But let me go ahead and see what I've got in the email pile. Bum, 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 bum. I got work. Do you think I got a couple hours of work to do tonight after the show? Not show work. I got reports that are due. I am seriously burning the midnight oil. All right, let me go ahead here and bounce into. I want to talk about Ingress for a second, too, here in just a second. And let me see if I've got. Do we have any emails that came in? Holy cow. Let me look. On the 20. Last show was on the. So 25 and up. Okay, got an email here from Michael. He said, "Hey, Todd, I thought you might be interested in seeing this. If you have questions, Strikeforce Tech. Strikeforce commences patent litigation against out-of-band authentication infringers starting with Phone Factor. So basically, again, more patent litigation. And as I said on the last show, I don't think I think we get enough of this kind of stuff. Do we really need to see this type of stuff? And wow, I think that's it. I mean, they have very much, not too much email coming in the last couple of shows. So, I guess we'll call it a night. Hey folks, thanks for hanging out with me here. And, if you've got comments, email me let's talk about Ingress. I've been playing Ingress here now for, I don't know, a couple months and, it's been fun taking the kids out, doing stuff. A couple of days ago, I observed something on Ingress that I thought was, the way it appeared to me at least, it looked like someone was spoofing GPS to jump between portal and portal. And, it just, you know, there was, you know, unless someone can teleport from one portal to the, basically there was just, the amount of time to get between one portal and the next. And what they do is they have portals around landmarks or certain types of stores. And, you know, I saw this one guy jumping around pretty quick, you know, 2 minutes here, 2 minutes to the next location. And I'm thinking, well, if I was driving 80, I could get there. But apparently this individual is pretty well known here in Hawaii amongst the players, and people did not take it well when I said, are you spoofing? And boy, they just went high and right. It was kind of an interesting day because I was watching a lot of comments being made in a Google Plus community. And they really took it wrong. But I guess what my thought is I hope that if Google is going to release this game, that for once and for all, they can shut down the app so people can't spoof GPS, because it's a lot of fun going out and driving around and playing this game. And some people take it a little more serious than others do. But as long as everyone plays fair, I think it's cool. Other than that, I hope that if you get a Ingress invite and you don't know what to do with it, I've got a bunch of players here that would like to start playing. So if you've got an invite, forward it to me, and I'll definitely put it to good use with a player. And if I get some invites and some of you want an invite to Ingress, let me know. You have to play on an Android phone. Prefer to have you on my side, on my team, if possible. But it's obviously the choice is up to you when you get into sign up mode, but it is a lot of fun, and my wife doesn't fully understand it, but anyway, I guess that's the way it works. All right, we're going to wrap it here, and for those of you that are watching live, we're going to put it in replay, but thanks to our sponsors. Thanks for GoDaddy. Thanks for GoToMeeting, and of course, Dyn.com. Support our sponsors so they continue to support us so that we can keep the lights on here and keep doing what we do. Next show will be Thursday night, released Friday morning. And then don't forget, I've got a week at NAB with live content coming out of the show there in Las Vegas. Until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see ya, and aloha.